We're on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, and yesterday we did the Mishnah, and today we'll pick up the Gemara. Now, by way of introduction, a Tameh is not allowed to enter into the Migdash, and this is based on a Pasuk in Bamidbar Hei, Vayishlechu min ha-machne kol Tameh le-nefesh. And this prohibition of a Kohen or a person, any person who's tummy to go into the Migdash applies also to the case of Kalim. And we're enjoined from taking Kalim Tmeim into the Migdash. And we'll soon see that Adam v'Kalim have something in common in the laws of Tumah v'Tahara. They could both become theoretically what's called an Av HaTumah. And there are situations in which Kalim can reach the level of Av HaTumah. And we'll discuss that in Mirtz Hashem in just a few minutes. So both Adam and Kalim, who are within the context of Av HaTumah, they could theoretically reach the highest level of Tumah, the Torah says they cannot be brought into the Migdash if they are Tameh, whether it's Adam or Kalim. And the Pasuk says, V'lo yitamu es machaneim asher ani shochein besocham, and that's a lav, and this lav applies both to the case of an Adam who's Tameh, who goes into the Migdash, or a Tameh who finds himself in the Migdash, meaning he contracted Tumah while he was in the Migdash, so he's not guilty of violating the law of entering into the Migdash, but rather remaining in the Migdash. If he tarries in the Migdash, he's shoeb in Migdash, that itself is a violation of the law. And as we said before, this law applies even to someone who takes Kalim, which are Tmeim, into the Migdash. And I say this by introduction to our sugya. And our sugya is going to address the question of asheretz. Is there a prohibition against bringing asheretz, once it's dead, into the Migdash? Is that also included in the violation of the law? And we're going to start with the sheet of Shmuel. Amar av tavi bar kisna, Amar Shmuel hamachnis, Tmei Sheretz leMigdash Chayev, but Sheretz Potter, meaning if a Kli became contaminated with Tuma Sheretz, in other words, the Sheretz falls on a Kli, the Kli is now Tomei, then if you bring that Kli that's Tomei into the Migdash, you are in violation of the Lav of Lo Yitamus Machaneh. However, paradoxically, even though the source of that tumah in the Kli was the Sheretz itself, but the Sheretz itself, if you bring it into the Migdash, even though it's dead, is potter. My timer. How do we understand the difference between the two? So Shmuel explains his reasoning based on a pasuk, based on Yalfusa. Amar Kra, in that same parsha that we mentioned earlier, but Midbar Perek Hey, with regard to sending Tmeim out of the Machne Shechina, the Torah says, Mizachar v'ad nekeva tishalechu el michutz l'machne tishalchu. Now the Torah emphasizes Mizachar ad nekeva, and we want to know what the Torah is trying to convey. There's some similarity here of Zachar u'nekeva, some common denominator. And what is that common denominator? That the Shiluach applies to Zachar ad Nekeva. Misha Yeshlo Tara b'mikvah, which means Adam v'Kalim both have Tara b'mikvah. So if you have, for example, an Adam Tameh, a Keli Tameh, then you could be Matar either of them in a mikvah. yotza to the exclusion of a sheretz she'ein lo tara b'mikvah. And therefore, the pasuk mizachar v'ad nekevo is excluding a person who brings a sheretz, a dead sheretz, into the mikdash. He's potter. He's not included in the lav of lo yitamu es machaneyim. And why? Because the pasuk itself mentions mizachar v'ad nekevo tishalechu. Now, the Gemara is assuming a hekesh, so to speak, an interdependence between the losaseh and the esse. The losaseh is lo yitamus machaneim. The esse is yishalchu min amachne. And in the pasuk of yishalchu min amachne, it mentions mizachar ad nekeva. That's only when it's yeshlem tara b'mikvah, like other v'kelim. So that there's no mitzvah of shiluach min amachne in the case of something that's tomei, which doesn't lend itself to tara b'mikvah, namely a sheretz. And if a sheretz is not included in tishalchu min amachne, then ipso facto, it's not included in the lav of lo tetamu es machaneim. So that's the sheet of Shmuel, which, if you will, is a certain leniency, because it exempts the case of a sheretz from the lav of lo yitamu es machaneim. So if a person takes a dead sheretz into the mikdash, he does not violate that lav. And the Gemara says, lema misayele, we have a brisa that seems to support Shmuel. The brisa opens up with this very pasuk, mizocha ad nekeva tishalechu. The end of the pasuk is, el michutz amachne shchina tishalchum. And we're going to derive from this that only an Adam Tomei or a Keli Tomei, as long as the Keli is made of any other material other than what's called cheres, china or earthenware, then there's a chiyuv of shiluach. If the Adam or any Keli except for one category of Kelim is Tomei, then we have a mitzvah to get it out of the mikdash. Prat, but the only exclusion, is l'kli cheres, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, why would a kli cheres be different and therefore be excluded or exempt from the chiyuv of shiluach min amachne? After all, a kli cheres could also become tomei. I mean, that's explicit in the parasha in Chukas, where you have a sheretz that fell into the avir of a kli cheres, or me'al gabo shel kli cheres. The kli cheres certainly contracts tumah. So how did Rabbi Yossi Aglili derive and come to this conclusion that a kli cheres is not included even when it contracts tumah in the mitzvah of shiluach min machne shchina? Lav, shouldn't it be mishum de les leitara b'mikvah? In other words, Rabbi Yossi Aglili had apparently the same drasha as Shmuel, that when the pasuk in the midst of Tishalechu mentions Zachar ad Nekeva, it meant to include only that which is subject, or he who is subject to Tvila b'mikvah. But what's unique about Kli Cheres, as opposed to all the other Kalim, is that the Torah says explicitly with regard to Kli Cheres, if it contracts Tuma Yishaver, it has to be destroyed. You cannot take a Kli Cheres and place it into a mikvah and be metaired. It remains tamei, and you have to break it. So, ein lo tara b'mikvah. Now the Gemara is making the following analogy. Just like Rabbi Yossi Aglili in the Braisa excludes kli cheres from shiluach, when a kli cheres contracts tuma, there's no chiyuv of shiluach. And the reason why is because it's ein lo tara b'mikvah. Let's therefore derive Shmuel's conclusion that in the case of a sheretz, there's no mitzvah of shiluach because a sheretz is not mizochar in the keva. It's not something that lends itself to tara in a mikvah. And the Gemara says, lo, the Gemara rejects it. We have another explanation for Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and in this alternative explanation, we will not be able to support Shmuel. Rabbi Yossi Aglili looks at the pasuk mizachar ad nekeva, and he excludes a kli cheres. Why? Misha nasa av hatumah Just like Zohar Nekev, a human being, can become an Av HaTumah, let's say, for example, a Zav, or a Zava, or Yoledes, all these are an Av HaTumah. And so too, there's a Shiluach Min HaMachna of any Keli that could become an Av HaTumah, Yotza Kli Chersheinu Nas Av HaTumah. There's one Keli which is made of a certain material, namely earthenware, which could never reach the level of an Av HaTumah. And therefore, there's no Shiluach Min HaMachna. That's the Shita Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It has nothing to do with Shmuel. Because Shmuel's talking about a Sheretz. A Sheretz in and of itself is an Av HaTumah. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili's Drosha, a Sheretz would not be excluded from Shiluach Min HaMachna, because it can and is, in fact, an Av HaTumah. But all Kalim can become an Av HaTumah, with the exception of a Kli Cheres. Now, let's first talk about how a Keli could become an Av HaTumah. There are two ways in which a Keli could be an Av HaTumah. Number one, if a Kli has a direct contact with a mess, with a corpse, it becomes an Av HaTumah. This is explicit in Parshas Chukas. It says, "Va'nefesh anogas titma ad ha'orev." And the meaning of this pasuk is that if a person comes in contact with a mess, he becomes a tummy mess. Or if he comes in contact with any tummy mess, even a keli. So we have a keli that came in contact with a mess. Now an Adam comes in contact with that keli. The Adam contracts Tumah through the Keli, because the Keli itself can transmit Tumah to an Adam, because it, the Keli itself, is an Av HaTumah. So that's the case, number one, of a Keli that came in direct contact with a corpse. Case number two is what's called Tumas Medris, which means if a Zav sits on top of a Keli, the Keli becomes an Av HaTumah. None of these categories of Tumah apply to a Kli Cheres. Number one, if a Kli Cheres earthenware comes in contact with a mess, it does not contract Tumah, because the Pasuk says, "Va'nefesh anogas titma ad ha'orev," and right before that it says, "V'chet'o b'yom ha'shvi." And only that which, a Keli that has Tara, is included in Va'nefesh hanogas, and it becomes an Av HaTumah when it comes in contact with a mess. But a Kli Cheres that has no Tara of Yom HaShvi, etc., is not contaminated by coming in contact with a mess. So too, there's no Tumas Medris in the case of a Kli Cheres, because if a Zav would lean or sit on a Kli Cheres, it's going to break. And that's a sugi that we learned in Masechta Shabbos, that there's no Tumas Medris in a Kli Cheres. Therefore, Kli Cheres could never, ever become an Av HaTumah. So tomorrow they're going to wake you up, and they're going to ask you a quiz question. And they're going to ask you, can a Kli Cheres ever become an Av HaTumah? You're going to say, absolutely not. It can never become an Av HaTumah. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, there's no mitzvah of Shiluach min HaMachna in the case of a Kli Cheres that contracted Tumah and finds itself in the Migdash. Or, for example, when a person brings a Kli Cheres that's Tomei into the Migdash, he doesn't violate this lav of Lo Yitamu Es Machaneim, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because it's not similar to Zohar Nekeva. Zohar Nekeva indicates something that could become an Av HaTumah, and both a human being and a Keli, with one exception, can become an Av HaTumah. A Keli can become an Av HaTumah either in the case of Maga B'mes or in the case of Tumas Medris of a Zav. But the only exception is a Kli Cheres. A Kli Cheres is not included in Tumas Mes nor in Tumas Medris of a Zav. And a Kli Cheres is therefore excluded from Shiluach and from the Lav of Lo Yitamu Es Machaneim. This has nothing to do with Shmuel, who derives from Zohar Nekeva a different conclusion, namely to exclude anything that doesn't have tara in a mikvah, like a sheretz. So now we're looking for another way of, in a sense, analyzing the position of Shmuel and going back to the Tanoim and seeing if we can find some sort of a basis for Shmuel in the Tanoim. Rabbi Yossi Haglili was not a successful effort. Lema Kitanoi, maybe the Machlokas Tanoim that we're about to learn, and this is the Machlokas that's recorded in our Mishnah here in Erev and Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, is really arguing about Shmuel. One Tana is going to accept Shmuel, and one Tana is going to reject Shmuel. Sheretz Shenimtso B'Migdash. The Mishnah addresses the case of a dead Sheretz, one of the Shmona Shrotzen, that is located, is found in the Migdash. There are two opportunities. There are two possibilities. One is, let's wait and delay and tarry until we can find what's called pshute kli eitz, those wooden tongs, in order to take the sheretz out of the migdash. A kli chere, a kli eitz, if it's a kli pashut, it doesn't have a receptacle to it, it's not makabel tumah. But of course, until we run around and find this pshute kli eitz, we're going to leave the sheretz in the Migdash. It's going to take a while until we are able to orchestrate this. And that's one possibility. The other possibility is Kohen Motzio Behem Hemyono. He's going to use the Avnet and immediately take out the Sheretz from the Migdash. And in this case, he, the Kohen, will not contract Tumah because he did not have direct Maga with a Sheretz. A Sheretz is not Metami B'masa. It's only Mitami B'maga. And the reason why Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka insists on not running around to look for a pshute kli eitz, but immediately removing the sheretz with the hemnoyo, with his avnet, is kedesh lo lishos es ha-tumah. We don't want to tarry and leave the tumah in the migdash. Let's get it out as fast as we can, and that urgency is indicative of the fact that we cannot tolerate a situation where the dead sheretz is in the Migdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vitzva Shal Eitz. Let's take the time to find a Pshute Kli Eitz, which is called a Tzvat, a tongue, and that's how we're going to remove Motzio. And we're not going to use the Avnet, because if we use the Avnet itself is one of the Big Day Kohen, and it will contract tumah when you take the sheretz out with the avnet. Shalol rabos es ha-tumah. We don't want to increase tumah to be mitamei kli kodesh when it's not necessary. When we can run around and take our time, there's no rush and urgency, let's look for a tzvas shel eitz. My lav v'hoka miflagi. The Gemara wants to analyze this machlokes in the following way. Demand the Omer according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, shelo lishahos, that we want to make sure that we don't leave the tumah. Let's not run around looking for pshute kli eitz. Kasover Rabbi Yochanan holds that amachnis sheretz lemigdash chayov, that if a person brings a dead sheretz to the migdash, he's chayov. And if he's chayov, then he's also chayov lishalcho. In other words, the migdash cannot tolerate the presence of a dead sheretz. And therefore, let's not wait around. We have an urgency to start running around and looking for a tzvas shel eitz. We don't have the time to do that. We got to get rid of the sheretz immediately, even if it means ribui tuma by being mitami the avnet. Uman diomar shalola rabos, according to Rabbi Yehudu, says that our main concern here is not to be mitami the avnet, but rather take your time until you find that seva a tzvas shel eitz, because sover he holds amach the sheretz lemigdash potter. He accepts the sheet of Shmuel, and in the case of sheretz which doesn't have tara b'mikvah, there is no mitzvah of shiluach, and therefore there's no iser to take it inside, and therefore the migdash is not repulsed or regurgitating the sheretz. The migdash could tolerate the sheretz, the dead sheretz. And therefore, if you have a choice now between being metame the avnet or waiting a little bit and finding a tzvas shel eitz, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look for a tzvas shel eitz, which is not makabel tuma, so that we're not marbet tuma, and instead we'll take our time. The sheretz is sitting there, and the clock is ticking, and we're tarrying, looking for the tzvas shel eitz, while the dead sheretz is in the mikdash, that's fine. Why? Because there's no iser of bringing a dead sheretz in the mikdash, and therefore there's no iser allowing the dead sheretz to be in the mikdash. And that shita of Rabbi Yehuda now, who recommends, or shall we say, advocates in favor of the tzvas shel eitz, coincides with the shita of Shmuel. And from the pasuk Mizachar v'ad Nekeva to Shalechu, we're going to exclude the case of a sheretz. Gemara rejects this. Lo, that's not the machlokas here in our Mishnah between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Kuli alma, everybody holds chayav. In other words, the Gemara is suggesting an interpretation of this Mishnah which goes against Shmuel, meaning both Tanoim reject Shmuel. They both hold that a sheretz is included in the iser of bringing a dead sheretz into the Mikdash or in the mitzvah of shiluach, of getting rid of that sheretz. They both agree that there is an urgent need to get the sheretz out of the Mikdash against Shmuel. In other words, they'll accept the interpretation Mizachar v'yad Nekev as an exclusion, the way Rabbi Yossi did it, of Kli Cheres, which is something that doesn't have a Tara b'mikvah, but sheretz is not going to be excluded. I'm sorry. They're going to accept Rabbi Yossi Aglili that Mizachar Nekev is excluding a Kli Cheres because it cannot become an avatuma, but a sheretz, which in and of itself is an avatuma, is certainly included in the mitzvah of shiluach and ipso facto in the iser of bringing it in. We got to get rid of the sheretz. So what is the machlokas then? The Gemara says, v'hocha b'hocha miflagi. What is the nature of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in our Mishnah? Mar sovar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, shihuye tuma odif. If you have a choice between delaying the sheretz in getting rid of the sheretz, even though, again, according to the Torah, there's an urgency and we got to get the sheretz out immediately, but that shehia of tumah is a better option than ribui tumah. To be metame the avnet, which is a kli kodesh, that's something that we don't want to do. So in other words, the issue here is a different kind of issue. The issue is, to what extent do we have to be concerned about the severity of being metame a kli kodesh? We have no issue here about, you know, whether or not the Mikdash could tolerate and allows you to keep and tarry with a dead sheretz inside. But everybody agrees we've got to get rid of the sheretz. But Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that although it's very critical to get rid of the sheretz and get it out of the Mikdash, but nevertheless not at the expense of ribui tumah. If your only option in immediacy is going to be the avnet, which is a kli kodesh, we don't want to be metami the avnet. And if that be the case, let's delay. Let's not jump the gun and be metame, jump the belt and be metame the avnet, but rather let's run around looking for a tzvas shel eitz. Umar sova, Rabbi Yochanan Brokers of the opinion of fushe tuma adif. It's true, and I don't deny it, that by using the avnet to remove the sheretz, you're going to be metame a kli kodesh, but that's a lot less severe than allowing shehiyah of a dead sheretz in the Mikdash. And the bottom line is that everybody in this brisa rejects Shmuel and holds that the Mikdash does not tolerate a dead sheretz. And the mitzvah shiluach, and ipso facto the lav of lo titamus machaneim, applies even in the case of a sheretz. So now we're back to the drawing board about Shmuel, and was still looking for a possible Tana that might be waving the flag of Shmuel, because the last Brisa, which we thought was perhaps the issue of Shmuel, has nothing, actually not the Brisa, I should say the Mishnah, that has nothing to do with Shmuel. In fact, both that the Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is a rejection of Shmuel. They both hold that there's an urgency in getting this Sheretz out of the Mikdash. The only issue is, well, what about being Mefish Tumah, meaning by using the Avnate, we're going to increase and we're going to generate a Tumah on a Kli Kodesh. Ela Kahani Tanoi, perhaps we can introduce another part of our Mishnah. The Sefer of our Mishnah records a Machlokes on the issue of Mehechon Motzianoso. And if you recall, just to summarize what we learned yesterday, we divided up the Mikdash into parts. We spoke about the Heichal, and we spoke about the Azara. And we had a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon ben Nanos and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon ben Nanos was of the opinion that we got to get rid of the Sheretz on Shabbos, even though it entails a violation of the Isur Muktzah, min HaHechal. And min HaUlam, which is called Bein HaUlam Mizbeach, or min HaUlam, those are also places that are included in Heichal. But the Azara per se, which means the Ezras Yisrael, the Ezras Noshim, that's not included in this Motzian. You know, we're not going to violate the Shabbos even with the Isur Muktzah if the Sheretz is beyond the point called Ulam Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach. Whereas Rabbi Akiva said, no, Kol Mokom. Anywhere where a Tomei is not allowed to go in, even in terms of the Azara, that too, the Ezras Kohanim or the Ezras Yisrael, that too is included in Motzianoso. So the Gemara wants to suggest, right, and according to Rabbi Akiva, let's just point out, the only place where we don't have to worry about Motzianoso, where a Tomei would not be in violation if he entered into that place, is called the Lishkos, and other places on the Arabais. They have Kedushas Arabais, they don't have Kedushas Azara, and that's a lower level of Kedusha. So we have three levels of Kedusha. We have Heichal on the top. We have the next level of Kedusha, which are the Azoros. And we have the level, lowest level, which is called Harabais, or the Lishkos. The highest level, which is called Heichal, is itself comprised of three different parts. The Kedusha goes from the highest down to the lowest of these three. And that's the Kodesh Kadoshim. And then we have Lifnei Kodesh Kadoshim. And then we have the Ulam. And then we get down to the Azaros, which means the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Kohanim. Finally, we get to the lowest level, which is the Lishkos and other places on the Harabais. That's as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned. Rabbi Akiva says that we got to get rid of the Sheretz, not only from the Heichal, but also from the Azoros. So the Gemara wants to say that that Machlokes has to do with Shmuel. And it means the following. My labalkam ifli demandi omar mi Azora lo. Which means, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, that we don't have to get rid of the Sheretz from the Azora, but only from the Heichal and Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, because Sovar Amach the Sheretz L'Migdash Potur. There's really no chiyuv, according to the Torah law, to get rid of the Sheretz, meaning that Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas adopted the Shita, the position of Shmuel. And therefore, if the Sheretz is in the Azora, then we're not going to violate the Isur Muktzah on Shabbos to get rid of the Sheretz, because there's no Isur of the Sheretz being taken in or tarrying inside the Azara. Now Rashi wants to know, well, what about the Heichal? I mean, even Rav Shimon ben Nanas agrees that we're going to violate the Isur Muktzah to get rid of the Sheretz, the dead Sheretz, from the Heichal. Why is that also? And here Rashi introduced a whole new concept here called Kvod HaShechina. All right, we'll see if we can perhaps understand this. So that, according to Rashi, Mishum Kvod HaShechina lo hemidu chachomim divreim lesser sotzos hasheretz. In other words, the Rabbanon loosened their leash on the Isur Mukta when it came to Kvod HaShechina. And the Shechina is only in the Heichal. The Azara has Kedusha, but it's called Kedushas Migdash. It doesn't have that special element of Kvod HaShechina. And therefore, since Rav Shim Ben Anas adopts the position of Shmuel, namely, that a dead sheretz, there's no Isur in taking it in to the Migdash, or leaving it in the Migdash, there's no mitzvah of Shiluach min HaMigdash. Therefore, if the sheretz is located in a place where there's no Kvod HaShechina, namely, outside the Heichal, in the Azara, there's no violation, that we're not going to allow a violation of the Isur Mukta, just simply because the sheretz is there. I mean, there's no Kvod HaShechina. And as far as the Migdash tolerating a dead sheretz, we're holding now like Shmuel, and the Torah, Zochrad Nekeva, excluded that which it doesn't have a Tara B'mikvah. Uman Diomer, but Rabbi Akiva, who holds Mikula Azara, that if the Migdash, if the sheretz is in the Migdash, meaning the entire Migdash, anything that's sanctified with Kedushas Migdash, even the Azara, we got to get rid of it. And we're not going to tolerate tarrying or leaving it there. And we're going to violate the Isur Mukta. Is Kasavar, because Rabbi Akiva rejects the Shita of Shmuel, and he holds that Hamachnis Sheretz L'Migdash Chayav. And the corollary of that is that there's a Chiyuv Min HaTorah L'Shalcho to get him out of the Migdash. And therefore we have to get out of the Migdash even on Shabbos, even if we're going to be Docha the Isur Mukta for the Chiyuv Doraisa of getting rid of the Tumah. Because the Migdash and a dead Sheretz, which is Tameh, are mutually exclusive. They are one against the other. They are antithetical. We got to get this dead sheretz out of the Azara. Why? Because the Isur of Lo Yitamus Machaneim, and for that matter, the flip side, the mitzvah of Shiluach Min HaMachna applies to a dead sheretz. And in that sense, Rabbi Akiva rejects the Shita of Shmuel. But let the good news is that Rabbi Shimon Ben Nanas accepts the Shita of Shmuel. And therefore, he holds that there's no zero tolerance of a sheretz in the Migdash. Again, when it comes to the Heichal, that's going to override Mukta for a different reason, because Rashi says, Kovod HaShechina. Now the Gemara rejects it. Rabbi Yochanan claims, and now we're on Daf Kuf Hei. He says that even Rav Shimon Nanas, like Rabbi Akiva, hold that a machnis sheretz the Migdash is chayiv against Shmuel. They're going to argue about the severity, the chomer, of this necessity to get rid of the dead sheretz and take it out of the Azara. Why? Because it's already in the Azara. In other words, as far as taking it into the Azara, that would be an active violation of a law, and we're rejecting Shmuel. So taking a dead sheretz into the Migdash, even to the Azara, would be an outright violation of the law. However, the sheretz is already in the Migdash. Now we have the following problem. We've got a sheretz in the Migdash, and we cannot tolerate the sheretz in the Migdash, because again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees against Shmuel that we have to get rid of, and there's a mitzvah of shiluach of a dead sheretz in the Migdash. However, we also have another problem, a head-on collision with the Isur Mukta. Are we allowed to override the Isur Mukta for the necessity, for the pressing need, to get the sheretz out of the Azara? And the answer is Shneem, both Rav Shimon Nasi and Rabbi Akiva Mikra Echad Darshu. They each had a different take on what to derive from a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim, which refers to Tiur Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so a little bit of historical background. The Melech, what was his name? Achaz, I think was his name. He was the father of Chizkiyahu and Melech. He had already brought Avodah Zarah into the Mikdash itself. Chizkiyahu was a great tzaddik. When he inherited his father's throne, he wanted to get rid of all Avodah Zarah that his father Achaz had brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, one other introductory point that we have to know, there's an equation between Avodah Zarah and Tumah, meaning that an Avodah Zarah is considered Tameh. So again, Achaz was not a good guy. I hope that you don't know anyone with that name, Achaz. And he was Mevatel the Avodah. He built a Mizbeach in the Azara in addition to the Mizbeach, and he was Makriv on this Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah. So that Mizbeach has the status of Tameh. And it's Metameh. If I'm not mistaken, it's even Metameh B'Oel. Now, Chizkiyahu has to engineer or orchestrate getting rid of the Avodah Zarah and taking it out of the Mikdash, because his father had brought this into the Mikdash. Now, we got to get this Tumah out of the Mikdash. And the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim says, Vayavo HaKohanim Lapnima L'toch Beis Hashem. So in order to be Metayer the Beis Hashem, the Kohanim went Pnima. And Vayotziu es Kol HaTuma. Tuma here is a reference to Avodah Zarah and what we call Tikroves Avodah Zarah. And the need here is now to be Metayer the Beis Hashem and get rid of all the Avodah Zarah. Asher Matzu Beheichal Hashem Lachatzar Beis Hashem. Vayikablu Halevim. Okay, now there's going to be I call it like pass the baton, so to speak. And the Kohanim at some point are going to pass the Avodah Zarah over to the Levim. The Levim are standing in the Azara, and they're going to pick up the Tumah from the hands of the Kohanim. For what purpose? Lahotzi, to take the Avodah Zarah out, l'nachal Kidron achutza. Nachal Kidron is outside of Yerushalayim. So again, we need a bunch of people to take out the Tumah, all the Tumah that was in the Heichal, and they split up the Hotzah, the removal of the Avodah Zarah, into two parts. The Kohanim would take it out of the Heichal into the Azara. The Levim would pick it up in the Azara, and they would take it out from the Azara to the Nachal Kidron. They were very makbid that the Kohanim would dafka go into the Heichal and take out the Avodah Zarah, bringing it into the Azara. And the reason for that is because why do we need the Kohanim? Let the Levim do the whole job. But the answer is that the Levim are not allowed to go into the Heichal. So there's no way that the Levim could enter into the Heichal to remove the Tumah, to remove the Avodah Zarah. So that had to be done by the Kohen. Now, once the Kohen took the Avodah Zarah out of the Heichal, and he entered into the Azara, and from there on, then only the Levim would remove the Avodah Zarah. And the Kohen would not help them. They did not participate in the Hotzah, the removal of the Avodah Zarah from the Azara. Now, what that means is that there's going to be a delay in this process. The Kohanim are going to have to tarry a little bit with the Avodah Zarah until they can finally pass the baton over to Levim. There's going to be what we call a Gram Shehiya of Tumah. And that's what is indicated by the Pasuk in Divrei HaYomim. Now we have to analyze, why is this so? Mar Sover, according to Reb Shimon ben Nanas, Midishtani Bazar B'Levim, that from the fact that the Pasuk indicates that the Kohanim would pass the Hotzah of the Tumah at the point of the Azara to the Levim, and the Gmar Hotzah, meaning taking it from the Azara, this Avodah Zarah, this Tumah, from the Azor all the way out to Nachal Kidron was implemented by the Levim, not by the Kohanim, we derive the conclusion that's Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, Tuma v'Azor Leka, that there's not such an intense chiyuv of Hotzah min ha'Azor. What it means is that there are two Isurim. They both are identical, except that one is more severe than the other. The Migdash, again, this is all Rabbi Yochanan's presentation, the Migdash doesn't tolerate the Sheretz, or Tumah for that matter, the Avodah Zarah, whether you hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas or you hold Rabbi Akiva. And that's going to include the Azarah as well. But the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva is whether or not when we get out of the Heichal into the Azara, are we dropping a level of severity? As if to say there are two dinim in Tumah and Migdash. There's one din of Heichal, and there's another din of Azara. And a Heichal has a double Isur, because not only is it part of the Migdash, but it has its own unique status as Heichal. So in that context, meaning if Rav Shimon ben Nanas makes this bifurcation of Heichal on the one hand and Azara on the other hand, therefore, since the Chiyuv Hotzah of Azara is one notch lower, so Rav Shimon ben Manasseh says that we're not going to allow the Kohen to continue his process of removing the Tumah, meaning the Avodah Zarah, in the Azara. And at that point, when we get to the Azara, the Kohen have to drop out. They cannot continue their contamination in the Azara. And the reason for that is now that we get to the Azara, the zero tolerance level of the Migdash is not zero. It's already a different kind of toleration. In other words, it's not such a... So when we're talking about the Heichal and the Levium can't come into the Heichal, we have no choice. The Kohanim are going to have to remove the Tumah of the Avodah Zarah from the Heichal. But when we get to the Azara and the need to get the Avodah Zarah out of the Azara is not as pressing as in the case of the Heichal, then we're not going to want the Kohanim to get involved in being metami themselves by carrying the Avodah Zarah from the Azara and onwards to the Nachal Kidron. At that point, we're going to have the Levium take over. That's according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Marsa, Rabbi Kiva holds, there's no difference whatsoever between Heichal and Azara. In other words, not only is the Migdash totally intolerant of Avodah Zarah, and the Migdash I mean in its totality, including both the Heichal and the Azara, but nevertheless, whereas Rav Shimon ben Nanas had postulated a drop in the Chumras Avera once we get to the Azara, and there's a difference therefore between Heichal and Azara, Rabbi Akiva never accepted that distinction, and Azara has the same level as Heichal vis-a-vis that Kedusha that doesn't tolerate Tumah, and the Losaseh of bringing Tumah, and the essay of getting the Tumah out of there, of Shiluach, and in both cases, there's a Chiyuv to get rid of the Tumah, even if the Tumah is now in the Azara, and the Kohen would therefore be allowed to be metami himself for this purpose, even if he's only taking the Tumah out of the Azara. And for sure now, if we come back to the case of Sheretz, Rabbi Akiva says, we're going to violate the Iser Muktzah, we're going to suspend the Iser Muktzah for the necessity of getting the Sheretz out of the Azara. Now, when the Kohanim, now let's get back to the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, and the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim indicates clearly that the Kohanim did not take the Avodah Zarah out of the Azara. They're going to pass that over to the Levium. So Rabbi Akiva now has to address that, because Bishleim, according to Rav Shim ben Nanas, we said that the Azor is already a different level of an Iser vis-a-vis the Tumah of Avodah Zarah. But according to Rabbi Akiva, who uniformly equates Heichal and Azara, so why does the Pasuk indicate that they insisted that the Kohanim pass the Avodah Zarah over to the Levium once they reach the Azara? And the reason for this is Ad Heicha Delo Efsher B'Levium Mafki Kohanim. We would rather that the Levium take out the Avodah Zarah and not the Kohanim. The Levium don't have the same level as the Kohanim. I mean, they don't do the Avodah that the Kohanim do. They don't have the Kedusha and the Isurim of Kohanim. But the only problem is we cannot substitute the Levium for the Kohanim inside the Heichal because the Levium are not allowed to enter into the Heichal. So, Beles Breira, below Efshar, we cannot avail ourselves of the possibility of the Levium carrying it out of the Heichal. We only have the availability of the Kohanim. That's what's going to happen. But now that we get to the Azara, is Hashta Efshar B'Levium, Sulo Matami Kohanim. Here, where the Levium are allowed to enter into the Azara, they're not allowed to enter into the Heichal, then why not allow the Levium to finish the job and take the Avodah Zarah from the Azara, where the Levium are allowed to enter, and take out the Avodah Zarah to the and bring it to the Nachal, Nachal Kidron. Okay. So the bottom line here is that the Gemara seems quite clearly to reject Shmuel and the basic halacha of Shiluach of Tumah applies even to the Sheretz. And we got to get rid of the Sheretz. However, Rav Shim ben Nanas is saying is that when we have to contend with the Iser Muktzah, then we're allowed, since we're not again bringing the Sheretz actively into the Migdash, the Sheretz is already in the Migdash, we can delay that and uphold the Iser Muktzah in order to facilitate getting rid of the Sheretz. But even Rav Shim ben Nanas, according to Rav Yochanan's presentation, the Gemara seems to accept that, does reject Shmuel and agrees that we got to get rid of the Sheretz. Now, at this point, the Gemara sort of moves on to a slightly different topic, and that is Bnias or Tikkun Hamigdash. Now, what we're talking about is either building the Migdash, fixing up the Migdash, or getting rid of Tumah from the Migdash. We're going to talk about someone who goes into the Migdash, L'chatchila, and a B'dievet situation. What is the Kedima? What is the Seder in the sequence? Tana Rabbanan. Hakol nichnasim leheichal. If we need to build the Heichal, we're going to allow anyone who can build the Heichal to go into the Heichal, whether it's Kohanim, Levium, Yisraelim, Livnos, Ulitaken. You know, I'm thinking in the rules now of the lockdown, and they're stopping cars. You know, they don't want you don't want to be traveling and entering into certain areas. So, for the sake of what they call Anaf HaBniyah, you know, those who are involved in construction, they allow them to go in to other neighborhoods, like my wife, for example, so she can travel pretty much freely. So here also, normally, only a kohen would be allowed entry into the Heichal, but for the sake of building or fixing, and for that matter of getting rid of Tumah, we're going to allow, if need be, even a Levi, or perhaps even a Yisrael. And ulahotzias hatumah. Nevertheless, if all things are equal in an ideal situation, and we can have the kohanim are available, then mitzvah b'kohanim, right? Because kohanim are allowed to enter into the heichal. So why violate the Iser of a non-Kohen entering into the Heichal if you have Kohenim who could achieve the same exact goal of Bnias, Tikkun, or Altsas HaMes from the Heichal. However, if Ein Sham Kohenim, if the Kohenim are not available to do these, they didn't take a course in construction, is then Nichnasim Leviim. We'd rather have the Leviim go in because they have Kedushas Leviim. And if we don't have Leviim, Im Ein Sham Leviim, Nichnasim Yisraelim. That's already the B'dieved and the real fallback position. So now the Gemara is going to be Medayik from the Braisa, that the Braisa doesn't mention that a Tomei is allowed to enter into the Heichal. V'idi v'idi, meaning whether you're talking about Kohanim Leviim or Yisraelim, Tahorim in, Tmeim lo. The Braisa, which was giving you the boundaries and the expanded scope of a heter for the sake of Bnia and Otzas HaMes, mentioned Leviim, mentioned Yisraelim, if there are no possibilities of Kohanim, that's the four, but it doesn't mention Tmeim. So it's Dafka Tahorim that are allowed to enter into, but Tmeim we're not going to let enter into. Now, if there are no Tahorim at all, then we have no choice, then even Tmeim would have to go in. But we see from this Braisa that if you have a choice between a Kohen Tomei or a Yisrael who's Tar, then you would give first dibs to Yisrael. Even though he doesn't have Kedushas Kohuna, he's never allowed to enter into the Heichal under normal circumstances. But what's worse is to have a Tomei. That's why the Braisa left out Tomei, because the Braisa wanted to tell you that on the first round, first order, if everything is okay and you don't have to come on to Tmeim, we're going to insist on Tahorim. Whether that Tar is a Kohen, whether he's a Levi, whether he's a Yisrael, as long as he's Tar, that's going to be, again, relative to Tmeim, that's going to be your first priority. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Kahana was a Kohen, that's why he was called Kahana. Misayea Kehanai, he's going to help the Kohanim, and he's going to be like the first online, so to speak. Ditani, Rav Kahana learned a Braisa, he taught a Braisa, Mitosh Shenemar, with regard to a Kohen is Balmum. In Vayikra Chavalf it says, Ach, El HaParoches Lo Yavo. And the end of the pasuk is El the Elam is Bechlo Yigash Ki Mumbo. We understand and we derive that it's Asur for a Kohen who's a Balmum to enter between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. And certainly he can't go beyond Bein HaUlam Lama Mizbeach. Yochel, I might think, Shalo Yu Kohen Bali Mumin Nichnasim Bein Ulam Lama Mizbeach. Lasos Rikue Pchamim. Now that we've derived from Lo Yavo that a Kohen Balmum is not allowed to enter into the Heichal, is how far are we going to go? Are we going to say that a Kohen Balmum is enjoined from entering into the Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach even if he's Lasos Rikue Pchamim? He's in charge of doing what's called a Tzipui, a kind of a plating, I guess you would say, of the kosel of the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Kodesh Kadoshim had its own walls, and those walls were covered with a tas, which is a thin plate, I guess you'd call it, of gold. Or we can exclude a Kohen who's a Balmum from entering into this area for the purpose of Rikuei Pachim. Talmud Lomar Ach. And we have a rule in Drashos that whenever the Torah says Ach, it's a mute. And since the Pasuk says Ach, etc. Lo Yavo, it's coming to exclude the case of Asiyas Rikuei Pachim, where we'll allow a Kohen Balmum to enter into the Heichal for the purpose of Rikuei Pachin. Cholak, in this context of ach, we have a principle called cholak. Cholak means to differentiate between two, between A and B. And the Torah is differentiating between what's called knisa litzorach and knisa shelo litzorach. In other words, if it's a knisa litzorach on Migdash, for example, for the purpose of asiyas rikuei pachim, then we're going to allow the kohen balmum to enter. But mitzvah v'tmimin, if all things are ideal, and we can find a kohen who's not a balmum, but rather he's a tamim, he's complete, right? He doesn't have any blemishes, and he's capable of doing the rikuei pachim, that's what we're going to do. But ein sham tmimim, if we don't have tmimim, nichnasim bali mumim, and mitzvah b'torim, ein sham torim nichnasim b'tmei. So the Gemara now is going to again be medayek from the fact that the Braisa didn't say explicitly that Yisraelim are allowed to go in. It only mentions tmimim and balimumim and tahorim, and then finally tmeim. But the premise is that we're talking about kohanim. Yisraelim are left out? Does that mean that Yisrael is not allowed to enter into the Heichal for the purpose of building and, in this case, Rikuei Pachim? Idi v'idi, whether it's Tmimim or Balei Mumin or Torim et Tmeim, is Kohanim in Yisraelim lo? Only Kohanim allowed to go in? Yisraelim no? And if there are no Kohanim, then we'll allow Yisraelim. So we see from this Braisa that a Kohen Bal Mum, even if he's Tameh, gets priority over Yisrael, even if he's a Tamim, and even if he's Tar. And that's why the Braisa deliberately ignored the case of Yisraelim, to tell you that although if we have no choice, there are no Kohanim, then we'll have to invite a Yisraeli to go in, a Yisraeli. But if we have a Kohen, I don't care what the nature and what the status of the Kohen is. He may be, I grant you he could be a Balmum. I could grant you even if he's a Tomei. And even if he's both a Tomei and a Balmum, he gets first dibs. Iboilahu, but the Gemara is a Safek. What happens if we have a choice between two Kohenim? Echad Tomei, v'asheni Balmum. But he's Tar. Ezem and Nichthas. What's the adifus over here? What's the order of priority here? Shall we give priority to a Balmum, even though he's a Balmum, but at least he's Tar? Or shall we give priority to a Tamei, even though he's a Tamei, but he's not a Balmum? Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omar Rav, Tamei Nichthas. He would prefer that a Tamei go in, leave out a Balmum, da ishtrei bavodas tzibur, because we have a principle called tuvah hutra b'tzibur, and if need be to bring a korban tzibur, and the tzibur atmeim, then even a kohen, if he's Tamei, is allowed to do the avoda. So we do have a breakthrough in Hilchas Avoda, where a Tamei is allowed to do the avoda. Balmum is never allowed to do the avoda. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Balmum Nichnas. I would prefer Balmum if he's Tar and not allow a Tomei to go in. Da Ishtrei Bachilas Kodshim. Right, there's a mitzvah on the Kohanim to eat Kodshim, and although Balmum is not part of the Avoda, he's disqualified from the Avoda, but nevertheless he's included in the mitzvah of Achilas Kodshim. On this last Gemara, the Siboilu, I would like to quote a kasha here from one of the Mefarshim. He says, "Yesh la'akshos harei bevadei odiv sheikonis balmum she'ein iser b'knisos le'migdash mitamei shemuzah be'iser kareis milekonis le'migdash." And the whole iser that we're dealing with is knisa le'migdash, so certainly we would want to invite a balmum. But the beer is Shabemis ein shum isa lekoin tome likonis the migdash kede lahotzia satuma. If the whole purpose here is to remove the tuma, then a tummy is allowed to go in. Kishem shahutal lechol echa likonis kede livnos vulatakin, kmochain hutal
Kidei Lahotzi Satuma. So there's no Iser Knisas Tmeim if the purpose of the Knisa is to remove Tum. Ela Mikomakom Lin Khathila Yeshdin Kidimo, Kshem Shekoin, Odif al Yisrael, Kach Yesh Lahadif Tor al Tome. And the Gemara's suffix is if a Tor happens to be a Balmum, if he's Odif on a Tome or Odif Atome Velo Balmum. Okay then, so Mirza Shembli Neder, we'll finish the parak tomorrow. We'll start with Rabbi Shimon Omer. And then we'll begin the ninth parak.